Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Tired of nicks, cuts, and bumps? It's time to ditch the blade. Nair, the award-winning number one hair removal brand, gives you silky, smooth skin in as little as 3 minutes. That's smooth that lasts for days longer than shaving. Easy to use, blade-free, dermatologist tested, and made for all skin types. Plus, discover our new sensational fragrances that turn hair removal into a whole vibe. Shave less, glow more. Find Nair at all major retailers.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and chill with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
Let's Go Barstool is presented by Omega Accounting Solutions. If your business suffers significant financial losses or had to shut down in part or in full during the pandemic, you may be eligible for ERC, Employee Retention Credit, the powerful payroll tax credit. ERC was passed as part of the CARES Act to help small business recover from the pandemic. If you employed 5 to 500 employees and paid payroll during COVID, you may be eligible for a refund of up to $26,000 per employee. There are numerous subsidies, tax credits for big businesses. Large corporations have been taking advantage of these for decades, and the Employee Retention Credit is finally a subsidy made exclusively for small businesses, but it has a limited window of opportunity. Now's the time to act before the government's filing window closes, and this refund is gone for good. Omega Accounting Solutions is a government tax incentive expert and offers services in business intelligence, fractional accounting, and analytics. Omega is also a small business champion, helping small business owners navigate the complexities of the accounting process, particularly for the immense opportunities around the ERC. Omega empowers small and mid-sized businesses and their owners to make informed business decisions through powerful accounting, data analytics, and insightful reporting. A 10-minute call to Omega's ERC specialist could help your company recover up to $26,000 per employee. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com to learn more. Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 57 of season 2. Jeff D'Lo alongside Ken Jack, Chris Castellani, and Gooch, with a Halloween episode, not a Halloween-themed episode, but just the movie Halloween, the third in the soft reboot trilogy that started in 2018 from director David Gordon Green and some writing minds. I searched Halloween on Wikipedia, and that obviously pulled up the holiday and not the movie. Danny McBride as well, Jamie Lee Curtis return. A very interesting trilogy that came to an incredibly interesting end. Whether you liked it or not, impossible not to say, boy, that was quite the choice.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to hear what we all think about it. It's odd. The whole thing is odd. This whole trilogy is just bizarre. But they're back for the third and final time. And we will reveal, if you are for some reason listening to this and you've not watched the movie and you're wondering, did they kill Michael Myers? You will find out here today in this episode. You don't have to watch the movie. You will find out here today. I suggest watching it, but you will find out here today. And then we'll break down a bunch of some season finales. We're coming to the end of House of the Dragon. Andor had its finale of its third three-episode arc. So a lot to get to. But first, as always, one of the sponsors of this podcast, Game Time, created by fans for fans, the exclusive ticketing partner of Barstool Sports. Game Time's a ticketing app that makes it easier than ever to score last minute deals on tickets, sports, concerts, all that and more. I got to go to the Guardians Yankees game in Cleveland. Game three was awesome. So I'll walk off. That was really cool.
Yeah. What happened in game four, bitch? I can't even pretend to be that hardcore of a Yankees fan. Yeah. It's like number three in the pecking order for me.
Yeah, I mean, that was like, I mean, this is the, what a loser mentality. But I mean, if they lose tonight, like, I don't know. That was like one of the best Cleveland sporting events I've been to. So that was fucking awesome.
It's a weird thing because they've overachieved.
Oh, yeah. Their
expectations. Massive. Crazy. Yeah.
I'm used to them having massive expectations and blowing it. So this is like, all right. So then next year, no matter what, then I'll have massive expectations and I'm sure they'll let me down. tons of Barstool fans using it. Concerts, comedy shows.
sporting events, MLB playoffs in full swing, especially if you're a New York listener, if they move on. I don't think you'll listen to this for the game tonight, but if they move on to the LCS, go to that. Giants and Jets seem good. Patriots seem good. So, yeah, I don't know. Go if you're a Northeast listener, especially, use Game Time. Your teams are playing well right now. Download the Game Time app. Go to the account tab to create a login. Redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time. Last minute tickets. Lowest prices guaranteed. Yeah. We're not recording during Monday Night Football. We almost had to do that. Ken Jenkins had to lay down the sword and record, which
would have been a fun live recording, though, because he would just get to hear me scream and yell and bitch.
Well, I offered up to the Yankees organization for a winner take all last night, because I would have had to have streamed. I don't know what would have I was. They're like, someone's like, it's just one loss. Like, no, I'm mad because now I don't know when we're going to record this podcast, but now we are recording it now. Sports, hell yeah. And anything else on the docket
from sports?
It was pretty good Saturday.
Yeah, for you, Michigan, for you, Chris, for sure.
LCB Bowl. You were not nearly as disappointed about this game as the Chargers Browns game. I actually could not have cared less than I did after the third quarter.
That's fair. Michigan, I mean,
very good.
That's why this is an interesting thing for me that I've always maintained. I would rather lose in a blowout than piss away a close game.
Correct.
Yeah, so I'm with you, Jeff. By the third quarter, you're like, yeah, fuck it. They're better. And they are better. I mean, this might be the best Michigan team I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're better than last year.
I think so too. Yeah, regardless of whether they go to Columbus and win, they are really good.
They're very good.
Yeah. I had an 8-game college football parlay lose on PSU giving up so many points, which was that was tough. It was a tough scene. It was the last the first leg of 8. All the rest of them hit. Sucks.
And also, I mean, again, I saw a walk-off playoff game. So at that point, I was like, you know what? I'll take this L.
LCB Bowls, I think, are decidedly against you, but your one win was better than all of those losses combined, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, technically, let's call a spade here. I mean, Gooch worked for the podcast last year. The Bengals haven't beat the Browns in, like, what, like 3 years?
No, so we cannot beat the Browns. It's the weirdest.
So I'll roll some Bengals wins into here. I'll absolutely do it.
Kentucky beat Penn State in Citrus Bowl?
Oh, I will say this too. No bowl game counts anymore to me. Nothing. If you don't make the playoff,
they only count when I win.
Like, do not play. If you don't, New Year's Six, like, sort of matters. Maybe. I think once your college team makes a New Year's Six bowl and wins a New Year's Six bowl, it's irrelevant after that.
It's playoff or bust. Yeah.
Rose Bowl means a little bit, but once you make the New Year's Six, like Penn State won Fiesta Bowl, they won Cotton Bowl, they lost the Saquon game to USC. Mm-hmm. If you're not making the playoff and you make those games, irrelevant.
I think the Arizona Bowl matters.
Besides the Arizona Bowl, which is also why I do think nationally college football is not like.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
It's not what it is.
We should make like a fake bowl and say like somebody gets into it, like a movie themed bowl, like the Don't Worry, Darling Bowl. Like the team just made it into them at the end of the year. It's like the last ditch effort of their marketing team, or like something else like that from the beginning of the year.
You want to talk about someone who sounds like they'd have a bowl, the Black Adam Bowl.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. That's it. Yes. Duh.
The Black. That would be very funny if he actually did that.
The Black. Oh my. We're going to have to Photoshop that later.
I'm surprised he hasn't sponsored a bowl in some way. It's not that expensive.
He was what at the, I feel like he's the NFL level. You know what I mean?
He was.
Like
he closed the season and opened the season.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Fucking beast mode.
I do think nationally, more people are going to care about college football once the playoff expands.
Yeah.
They'll have to. Yeah. I mean, really, it's so funny that last year was like Michigan's big, hey, we got over the hump. If the playoff was 12 teams previously, they would have made it like five.
The same thing with. That's Penn State. It's like you'd have made it three times, maybe four. It's like, but I get why nationally college football is just not as big. It's there's just the lack of parity is not interesting. It's just not.
Yeah.
That's with college football, especially watching like early in the season, it makes me wish that New York had any team worth a shit. Because like growing up, like nobody cared really. Like you have like every now and then you'd have like kids who are like, yeah, I'm an Alabama fan just because, they're a fan of whatever giant program they're not associated with at all. But like, I wish we had a team so bad that was worth getting us into college football, but we just don't. It's the one thing we just suck
at. The closest thing in the Northeast is all the Catholics that like Notre Dame.
Yes, exactly. That's, all the kids that went to like Chaminade and Kellenberg, and they're like, oh, fucking all my relatives went to Notre Dame. So
do you know in Michigan, there's a Notre Dame high school? Like, it's just called Notre Dame High School.
And it's a place in France too, Chris. Like, that's kind of where it came from.
But they have, like Irish colors and like Shamrock logos. Mm. And it's just a complete ripoff of Notre Dame.
I love a good high school that steals college logos and then gets eventually sued.
My high school stole they were the Buccaneers, and they had the exact Buccaneers logo, except we were all purple and white. It was really weird. Just like
my high school had the split mascot. So the men's team and the women's team had different Scots. We had the Mustangs for the men and the Amazons for the women.
Oh, that kind of rocks. Weird.
Amazon.
That's great. That's a sick mascot.
Yeah, sick. The Stangs and the Zons. Very, very cool.
You made it just significantly less cool when you said that.
Usually it should be like Lady Mustangs, right?
Yeah.
No, they like changed the name in like the 80s, I guess.
It's cool. I would love to be the Amazons if I was a girl. Like, that's a sick ass name.
Oh yeah, it was.
It's football talk. Let's move on to, I guess, movie news. We'll do the finales and stuff after news. Blade production been temporarily shut down on Blade. They're searching for a new director. Mahershala Ali given final say in the process. Feel like that probably should have been the case from the get go.
Yeah.
The Oscar winner, just pretty great visionary in terms of acting. Why not let him take the role that he wants to play and have final say in that?
He's going to hire like Peter Farrelly or something. Get Viggo Mortensen back on this project. Let's bring it all back.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting time to reset. It's kind of a good time to do it, which is a weird thing to say. It's weird to say that they're going to reset because now you're doing it after Werewolf by Night, and you see that people kind of accepted those types of characters a little more, which is very Blade. I mean, so many of those characters in that special are Blade characters, or all of them. But I think blood is part of it. I think like it's like the types of kills and the things that you'd expect with Blade are not what you normally see with the MCU, but also Deadpool's coming in, and we saw blood in Werewolf by Night, though it was black and white.
Yeah.
So you can get away with it a little more. I don't know. I mean, this is never a good thing, but if they're doing a full reset and not like, all right, let's take what we have and bring somebody in to carry this like crappy wagon along, that's one thing. If you're doing a full reset, then okay, good. At least you're trying to do it right. But it got delayed pretty heavily.
I wonder how that like fucks with the big board at Marvel. You know what I mean? Like, that's the stuff I would love to see behind the scenes with them.
They just delayed multiple movies.
Just all as a consequence, like a domino effect.
Everything got delayed, it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's a direct result of Blade, but stuff got pushed back like a full year.
I would love to just see the room. Essentially, like the room of that boy of like the Marvel writers, not like the She-Hulk one room, but like the actual room of the writers, just all like having to shift everything all over the place. I agree in that, like, this is a project where if you're getting like an Oscar winning, like top flight actor like Mahershala Ali to come do like Blade, the one done by like Wesley Snipes, the goofy ass like movies, which were good, like to a degree, but like you really need to make sure you do it right and you don't want to fuck it up, like, and especially after. They kind of screwed the pooch with Christian Bale. Like, he was top flight actor in the world, and they like gave him 5 minutes of screen time, and like no one stopped to think and be like, hey, he deserves more than this. And I think that it's a very good move. It's a smart move. Let him like completely reset. Make sure you do it right versus doing it fast or on time. So much better.
And I think they wanted to make sure that Mahershala Ali didn't drop out of the project.
Either. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that would be because this is like it's fan casting. Like, it's perfect in that role. I mean, I really do think that, you know, Jeff, you bring up the kills. Deadpool will help with this, but this needs to be rated R. Blade is an R rated character, and that will make things difficult fitting him into the rest of the world. But my guess is that's probably a big point of contingency is, you know, how dark can you go with this character? And that's one thing you got to give those, Wesley Snipes movies credit for, as goofy as they are, they have some pretty fucked up shit in them, which they should. This guy walks around and kills people with a sword.
You're muted, Jeff.
The first especially holds up well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first one specifically, yeah.
So, no. I don't know. I hope it works out. This one would be a huge bummer. Not that any of the MCU projects having issues and not being good is a bummer, but like I don't know, some side, like Florbo, the side character, like mm-hmm. what, like Blade not being good would be a disappointment.
Yeah.
And it does seem like a lot of people are very into the special idea now that we're another week removed from that. It seems like people really enjoy Werewolf by Night. And I really hope that they go, ah, this it's is
such,
the move.
It's such a big opportunity for them because I feel like their biggest detractors, especially in the like the older movie watchers, you can win a lot of those people over if you do a Blade movie right. If yep. you do it the right way, you're going to win a lot of those people over into the MCU, which is a huge yep. opportunity for them, I think.
First trailer for Spirited, starring Will Ferrell, Ryan Reynolds, and Octavia Spencer, hits theaters November 11th. Is this also streaming?
Yes.
I didn't catch that. Is it?
Yeah.
The week it's after. Right?
Apple TV. I think it opens okay. the 11th in yeah. theaters, but it's Apple TV on
Apple TV Plus. It's a musical yeah. version of Charles Dickens' story of a miserably, I'm not reading that, an old bag taking on a magical journey. I mean, this will not be as good as The Muppets Christmas Carol. Let's just say that right out of the gates.
Such a high bar.
Funny.
I like the cast. Yeah, we were talking, Gooch and I were talking before we started recording. The trailer ends with one of my least favorite tropes, which is characters about to swear and it gets cut off.
Oh, I hate that.
And Gooch asked the question, when was the last time that was funny, if ever?
Holy shit. And then like,
come on.
I won't say what the next story is, but it's kind of crazy that if you put the right mind behind something, no matter the type of thing that you are showing and releasing and promoting, it can change the way you think about something. Sean Anders is doing this. He directed
mm-hmm.
He directed That's My Boy, which I hate. Horrible Bosses 2, which I actually think is better than it probably gets credit for. Like, I think there's some funny stuff in there.
Agreed.
Daddy's Home and Daddy's Home 2.
I like the first Daddy's Home. I thought that was kind of pretty fun.
Mel Gibson one was not nearly on the same level.
Instant Family, which I don't believe was that bad. That was like,
no, that's pretty good.
I actually think that's good.
But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that he is like some fucking comedic genius who is maybe going, this is going to be unreal. He did do Sex. I think Sex Drive is very funny.
I will note that, especially for this cast, like Will Ferrell needs a win. I think he needs a win in a big way. And if this is it, sure. But like, I think he has had a very tough last decade as far as comedies go.
No, he's become the new Adam Sandler, where he had a solid prime of like really good, really funny movies, and even a few like dramedies, like Stranger Than Fiction. I can't remember the last. Daddy's Home was probably the last movie that he made that I thought was quite funny. And even that did not get that well received.
He's funny on Twitter.
Mm. Very
big win for if this doesn't work for him, he needs to lean significantly harder into being the executive producer of Succession.
Yeah,
he's got to be like, did you know?
It's all me.
Did you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he's in the Barbie movie.
Oh yeah, he's playing the same role that he did, I think, in the Lego movies, right?
Yeah, he's like the CEO.
But I think it's like literally because they're both they have the same parent company, right? Like, not what is it? Not Hasbro. Fuck, what is it? I think I've read somewhere that he was playing the same guy.
Fuck. No way, really?
No.
It might be wrong, but like,
it's Mattel. He's playing Enin Kryze? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess not then.
I'm going to choose to believe that they exist in the same universe, though.
He's playing the CEO of Mattel.
Holy shit, there's no way.
Does Mattel own Lego? Because wasn't that
Lego? I think Lego is just Lego. But
that's what I thought too. Like a Swedish company.
Mattel Films.
He's producing. Will Ferrell's listed in his upcoming project as a producer on a project I had no clue was happening. Sequel. It's Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters 2.
Wow, really? Late sequel for our boy Jeremy Renner. Good
fake.
For him.
This is fake.
That's crazy. Yeah, Mattel certainly does not know.
Yeah, no, there's no
TV connection. Series.
Yeah,
That's one of my favorite things from the OG Big If True trivia was that the biggest tire manufacturer in the world is Lego.
Yeah.
Like, which is insane.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's burning through rubber on those little toy cars.
How many kids chew on those little rubber tires every year?
Yeah. Frank the Tank would love, he'd fucking boost their problems through the roof.
Around
his neck.
So the movie I was referencing next is Naked Gun. There's going to be a new Naked Gun movie with Liam Neeson in the lead role. But here's where you read that, you go, ugh, Lonely Island Connection. Akiva Schaffer is doing the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a that's where it's like Spirited. Like maybe the idea is great, but then I'm like, all right, are the right people behind it? Is it going to be funny? But this, do we need a Naked Gun movie? Yeah, but you put someone funny behind it with a pretty good track record. I don't know. Maybe like I have a little hope for this, and I do think Liam Neeson can be pretty funny too.
Yeah, this is one where like I read the title at first and I was like, oh, what are they doing? Because like Leslie Nielsen made those movies and yeah. Like I can't imagine one without him. And but at the same time, like you look into it a little bit more and I think like Liam Neeson sneakily does have very good comedic chops. If you've ever seen Life's Too Short, his bit on that is one of the funniest things I think I can remember. And in whatever you thought of like Ted, I thought he was very funny in Ted 2.
I thought he was funny as shit in Ted 2.
That was a great scene. Yeah.
Very funny.
And also very funny cameo in Atlanta, for whatever that's worth, too. I don't know if you guys ever saw that. He addressed his whole season, right? Almost canceling thing. Yeah. And a couple of, I think he did that Western movie that Seth MacFarlane made as well. And Seth MacFarlane is a producer on this also. Million Ways to Die in the West. I'm curious what you think about this, Chris, as the biggest Family Guy person here. I always kind of dug it. I never thought it was like the worst movie in the world. There's a lot of very funny parts.
It got a crazy amount of unnecessary hate. I wasn't really sure why. I don't think it's great, and it's so kind of up its own ass with his style. I thought Ted 2 was funny. I'm glad you brought that. I like Ted 2. Yeah. I think that's a funny movie.
The Star Wars bit in that also very good. Said,
yeah,
we talked to Alex Sulkin, the Family Guy writer. We were watching Indiana.
He actually wrote the first script for this, ironically enough.
For what?
For this movie, for the Naked Gun, okay. You wrote the first script, and they ended up they use a different version, but his is the base.
Robbie Fox, we were doing a watch along, like I want to say Indiana Jones or something, and Robbie Fox like I think Ted 2 is as good as Ted. He's like, oh no, it's not.
Yeah, that was so.
he's like, no, we didn't have as many good jokes, but I enjoyed Ted 2. Like,
yeah,
Ted
me too. 2
was funny.
Ted 2 had some funny bits. Now, yeah, there's a Lonely Island connection here, and one movie that I don't believe you were on when we reviewed it, Jeff, but my biggest surprise movie of the year this year was Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Right.
Did that have a Lonely Island connection or was it just Andy?
He directed it. He directed Hot Rod. He directed Popstar. I mean, the dude's a stud. And
yeah,
directed.
This will probably be pretty good then. Yeah.
He also directed episodes of I Think You Should Leave, which people are obviously all over. Like I think he's got the chops. If I could pick, I don't think I could pick a worse director. You know what I mean? Or like somebody who's like, or better director rather than Akiva Schaffer. If I could, off the top of my head anyway.
This sounds like something that was probably kicking around in their heads for a while. Like the joke of Liam Neeson filling in for Leslie Nielsen.
Shout out to the bracket.
Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, weird that we were talking about it the day before. Yeah. We
very famously on The Dozen we changed major rules in the show because somebody mixed up Liam Neeson.
Liam Nielsen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it sounds like a joke they had like planned in their head for a long time, and this is probably the opportunity finally came about for them to actually do it. I think it'll work. I don't think a really strong comedic actor works in this role the same way Leslie Nielsen did, because it's such a straight man. Like, he plays it so straight, the comedic, the dryness of it. Yeah. Like, if you put someone in there that's over caricatured and like over the top, I don't think the humor works. But like putting Liam Neeson in there, I think he delivers it the right way. It's dry. Like the only other person I think would do a really good job, Jason Bateman, has that really nice dry delivery. Like I think you got to have someone like that in there. So I'm pretty excited. I'm with you, Jeff, with you, Ken Jack. Like this could be funny. We need more good comedy. So throw it against the wall until we get something good.
I'm sure they're going to be like self-referential too. And I think Liam Neeson is going to be playing his son, Frank. He's going to be like Frank Drebin Jr. or something like that. I don't know. I kind of dig it. I think he's got comedic chops. It's better. I better watch him in that than watch him in like, I don't know, like the fucking Cold Man or whatever, like movie where he has to go revenge another person. Like I'm down with that.
I think he officially said he's done with those movies.
Yeah, that's like, what he said. And then he made like three more. So right, I don't believe him at all.
Well, when he self canceled himself.
That shit was so funny.
That shit was hilarious. There's no way he thought that was a good idea.
Dude, unreal. And then you got to watch his bit in Atlanta because it's so funny when he dresses it.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Maybe we'll get him past in the next thing we're about to talk
about. Yeah.
Series adaptation of The Gangs of New York is in the works. Martin Scorsese will direct and executive produce first two episodes. I mean, yeah, but what do you say about that? Like, okay.
Yeah, trust him.
I think good, actually.
Though his other show right now is having a lot of problems, right?
Yes, Devil in the White City.
Yeah,
like casting issues.
Yeah, it's been in development hell for like 10 years. Like, it's yeah, I think it's a mess from the sound of it. This, though, one thing I always thought while watching Gangs of New York was that Martin Scorsese had a lot more he wanted to do there. Like, and he just didn't have the time to do it in a movie format. Like, that, it's based on a book. There's a lot of material there, and I think it probably does lend better to a series, like setting up that world. There's a lot of world you can explore there. So I'm excited for it. As long as you nail the casting here, you sell it to the right distributor. Miramax is producing, but I'm sure it'll go to Apple TV or HBO, one of the two people that Scorsese likes to work with. There's some promising stuff here. I'm excited for it.
You know what just occurred to me? The Irishman should have been a Netflix series.
Yeah, that'd be cool as a series.
Instead of a 4-hour movie, they should have just made it a 5-6 episode miniseries. Because I like The Irishman, maybe. But there are points where it's almost insufferable with its length, I thought. But yeah. So yeah, this, I mean, if there's a guy you're going to trust, it's Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they said there was going to be like not revolving around any of the characters from the movie. Like, it's just going to be like in that same, obviously, New York in that time period, so, which I think is cool. Curious to see who ends up being cast in it. But yeah, I mean, Scorsese's like literally a god. So anything he wants to touch on, I think the whole world will stop and watch, except for the fact that he hates Marvel. What an asshole. What a bitch Martin Scorsese is for not liking She-Hulk and Captain America and the Winter Soldier, shit like that. Yeah, unreal.
You know what sucks about that statement is when he made it, I strongly disagreed, and Marvel has since come back with like their worst stuff.
So yeah, I when we like broke it down, like we agreed with him. Like, he wasn't saying anything wrong,
exactly.
But he was also the victim of some pretty bad, like,
they cherry picked a lot of his statement to make it look like the most as offensive as possible.
The biggest issue I had with it is, yeah, because people are like, oh, he's wrong. Well, he's not wrong or right. It's his fucking opinion. His biggest issue was that he openly admitted, I haven't seen the movies, but I know that they're theme park rides. Well, you can't really say shit if you haven't seen the movies. That was the one issue I always had. Yeah.
I love the idea of him like weeping watching Captain Marvel 2 or whatever. Just like, oh, this is cinema. This is true cinema, baby.
Funny, there's so many weird directors who like it's, and then like Paul Thomas Anderson's obsessed with them because he watches his kids. It's like it is fucking fascinating. Yeah, I mean, Marty can release more stuff.
Werner Herzog cannot wait for Black Panther 2.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Then a couple other quick things. Jonah Hill cast as John Daly in an upcoming biopic. Yeah, makes sense.
Great, dude. Actor. That's built for Jesse Plemons. That's built for Jesse Plemons, or like potentially.
He doesn't have the physique, though.
Plemons is like he's a big boy, and he's got the face. He's got, you throw the mullet on him, and I feel like John Daly's personality is not one that's like goofy, funny, like Jonah Hill's. It's more like it's just like cold badass type of energy, and that's what I get from Jesse like Plemons if he were to be in that same dress up, if that makes sense. Him or maybe even like Paul Walter Hauser, maybe not totally great fit, but I feel like he could do him really well.
I think that'd be a great pick. Yeah.
If they did like a really like a goofier twist on it, like I think that'd be really cool.
I love him. Yeah.
Yes, I could see Plemons. It is going to be a younger Daly, probably.
Yeah.
Where he was not really that when he was winning, you know, when he won his major, he wasn't that big of a guy.
Mm, true.
Did he only win one?
I believe he just won the PGA. He may have won an Open as well.
He won an Open, I believe. I remember just because I was reading it. Not because like, I know their golf stuff offhand. I was reading about it when he won an Open.
That's right. I know he won the PGA. That was his first one, which is kind of where I imagine they're going to go with this. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
He did win Open 95. And rest in peace to Robbie Coltrane, who many will know as Hagrid, and also the great Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not making light of this. I did not think she was still alive.
Well, I flipped it because like we're recording the long take, and like people are commenting in the chat, like, man, rest in peace, Hagrid, rest in peace, Hagrid. And I'm like, what are they talking about? I thought I was being trolled because I thought that Robbie Coltrane was already dead. I thought he died like years ago. But I think I was like, we were talking about this earlier. I think I screwed it up with Alan Rickman or something in my brain.
Yeah, no, it's a tough one. Did Trill Bonds always reference Angela Lansbury? Am I
I don't think so.
Bring that. I feel like that was a name he always just plugged into his jokes. Was
we Angela. Talked about it a lot when we were doing the Knives Out review. I don't know how much more he talked about her other than that, but yeah, that does seem
wait,
like
a why Knives Out?
I remember the reference.
What why we talked about Angela Lansbury during Knives Out?
Dude, you go back and listen to some of our old reviews, it makes
that
no
sense. True. That, I mean, I believe you, but I'm like, what the fuck would we have brought Angela Lansbury up for?
Because,
well, I think murder you said it looked wrote, like something she would be in.
Ana de Armas was being gaslit, and
fuck, because I think we had a goal, like, what do you call it? What was the discussion we had during it? Damn, I don't
might
know.
Might have been a Murder, She Wrote thing. I don't know.
Yeah. That'd be probably. My guess on two murder things, yeah.
Well, we did reference something recently. We talked about Sherry Lewis from Lamb Chop.
Oh, yes. Maybe that was it.
We did talk about Sherry Lewis from Lamb Chop, and Trill said she never got to see Fight Club.
That shit was so funny.
We asked when she died. He's like, oh, she never got to see Fight Club.
Rest in peace, though. Two great mm-hmm. people.
Yeah, rest in peace. I mean, Angela Lansbury's voice is – I mean, for all the things they've redone in the Disney live action remakes, they kept her song for Beauty and the Beast in the ballroom scene.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I forget if they kept Elton John. Did they keep Elton John stuff for? Well, I guess he actually didn't sing it in the.
He never sang. Yeah.
So the same movie, just a soundtrack. But yeah, that's a testament to that. They're like, well, fuck this. We can't mess with Angela Lansbury. Here we go. Let's move on to our reviews. But actually, first, a word from our sponsor. Word from Roman. Roman has many things. We've talked about the testosterone support supplements before as well, designed by real doctors to help men maintain their body's natural testosterone production. They can give you daily supplements. They include 9 nutrients to help support testosterone levels, bone health, very important. Don't just drink milk. Remember when all the meta was like, if you want your bones to be good, just drink milk?
Wait, that doesn't work? I'm still doing that.
It's the answer for years. Who wouldn't want to have the proper levels of testosterone in their body? So guess what? Go to Roman. 20% off your first order. GetRoman.com/lights today. You get 20% off the Roman T support. It's also available nationwide in retail, too. If you're scared of ordering online, you won't get that 20% off. But you can get it at Walgreens, Walmart, CVS, Rite Aid, which changed their logo recently. But also, Roman has allergy relief. They have many other things, too. We talked about the Roman swipes, but allergy relief too. I actually have allergy relief. I'm using from them right now. My allergies are crippling right now. I'm allergic to literally everything, no matter where I go. It's not great. But they do have allergy relief, sprays, supplements you can take as well. And it has been helping quite a bit. So whether it's nasal sprays, testosterone support, sexual health, other things, hair and skin help the old hair grow. Roman is the place to go. So yes, go to GetRoman.com/lights today. Get 20% off your order.
All right. Next up, She-Hulk review. Did I even watch the finale? Let me look. Hold on. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so. Fuck. I've really got nothing funny to say here. I might need some help. Fuck. Who should I call? You know what? I don't know if he's going to answer, but... Hey, Siri. Call Trill.
Oh, fuck. You have reached... Trill, also known as Tele-Recorded Laughs.
Hey, Trill, long time no talk. I've kind of hit a brick wall here. I've got nothing funny to say about this She-Hulk finale. I'm really hitting a brick wall.
Say something about her feet.
Well, I've done that for the first 8 episodes, so I was kind of trying to do something new.
You could do something meta and break the fourth wall as a joke about the finale.
Nah, our fans would hate that.
Listen, I don't have all day. I am trying to enjoy retirement. I have gotten really into baking lately, and I am kind of in the middle of something.
All right. I'll let you go. And by the way, if you ever want to come back on and talk about, really... fucking prick.
Let's talk about the shows. She-Hulk wrapped up. Wacky, wacky finale to She-Hulk.
I liked it a lot, to be honest.
Yeah.
Good ending.
I actually paused it. I was like, wait, hold on. What is happening right now? Probably because I watched very early in the morning. But they as fourth wall break as a fourth wall break gets.
It was like a fifth wall break.
Yeah, it is. It's like they broke an extra wall. Interesting.
I like to break down her walls.
But the fact that like the most interesting episode, and I do think the best episodes were the last two episodes. Even so much that Gucci.
Last three, I think, are very strong.
Gucci even tweeted that he liked it. Liked the last two, right?
I liked what they did. Yeah, for certain.
Yeah, I liked it. You said it. You put it in writing on Twitter. So.
Gucci's the number one hater as well, I would say, other than maybe Chris.
I think I probably had him be.
But to drop kind of a negative on it too, the fact that the last two were the best kind of just goes to the theory of what we said with like the special presentation thing.
Less is more. Yeah.
You could have done something here had you condensed it. I mean, I ended up liking Leapfrog. Like, there's just some stuff that I liked at the end here. But if we're looking at it as a whole, you're like, oh, well, it kind of took a while to get there. And again, it was very fourth wall breaky in the end. She literally goes into Marvel Studios. There's a robot named Kevin. There were some good jokes.
It has the hat on, dude. That was great. I love that. I loved
what the Kevin robots, and even the Kevin robots, like the, no, we can't, like our writers or our CGI people are working on the next thing in the Wakandan drums played. Like there were some really nice moments. We meet Hulk's son.
Mm-hmm.
Son of Hulk.
And by the way, that clears up the beginning when the Sicarians showed up. It was like literally like it was like the child support services, like debt collectors coming to be like, hey, you haven't paid your kids child support in 20 years. Time to come back to Sakaar.
Kenjack,
deadbeat dad Hulk. Wow, I didn't even think about that. He's a deadbeat dad.
Yes.
We should make the fake quote, Gooch, of like, Hulk, what if your kid just has bad vibes? Like,
yeah. Well, there's the answer to your question. You said Hulk is too funny, but now he's a deadbeat dad.
Yeah,
he's kind of a piece of shit.
He's back to being a tragic figure.
Ken Jack, you seem to have enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think the last three episodes were very strong. I liked the one with the Ribbit and Rip It dude. I thought it was a very funny introduction of Daredevil. And this last one specifically, like, I think that it was very, very strong. And I think I said on Friday that it was like the strongest Marvel finale only behind Loki, because the rest of them kind of like they sputtered out a little bit. Yeah, like this is like a very strong, like a stamp ending, like, hey, this is what the show's identity is. This is what we're going to do. And kind of like it ended on a note where it's like, you don't need a second season of this. Like, this is like a closed loop, if that makes sense. And I kind of like that as well. But like, obviously they're going to try and shoot for a second season regardless. Really thought it was really funny. I did stop when they did the zoom out to the Disney Plus home screen. And I was like, oh, I fucked up. Like, I need to actually go. I need to press it again. And then they came out and did all that stuff. I thought it was goofy. Loved the Kevin bot. Liked the writer's room, like how the actors like portrayed it and everything. I thought it was funny. So, and I really like among these, all the things from She-Hulk, I think that letting Tim Roth really be goofy as Abomination was awesome. I think he was very funny in this entire series. And just, you know, little bits like seeing Daredevil getting hit on or like getting told he needs to have kids with. She-Hulk was very good. It was awesome. And I really liked it.
I that's a great point. I do think they actually landed the plane well, which is something that these shows have struggled to do. Yeah. Like they said what they needed to say and it wrapped up and you weren't like,
Yeah.
Gooch Chris, the haters.
No, I just got two short, quick things. Number one, my theory was kind of proven wrong, kind of proven right. I really think this show is going to be kind of the gateway to allow Deadpool to enter the MCU. With the amount of fourth wall breaking and acknowledging of the universe, I think that's going to be a huge step. And second, this really doesn't have any relation to the show, but has Marvel ever put out anything that had a smaller cultural footprint than Moon Knight? Does anyone even know that show existed?
Especially considering the
Twitter fandom.
Tatiana Maslany is not Oscar Isaac. Oscar Isaac's like a very well-known, very well-liked actor, and that really did like it just disappeared. It's almost
Moon Knight. I was listening to the review of Werewolf by Night by Marcus from Cosmonaut Picture Show, and he said
I saw that too.
He said the same thing. He loved Werewolf by Night. He said like this was great. And this is what they should do more of. And he brought Moon Knight, and he's like, did Moon Knight really need a whole series? And Moon Knight is a badass special presentation. Would have been fucking cool.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like Oscar Isaac is for sure coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What for? Are they doing a second season? Or are they?
No. I mean, just for like other roles, which obviously he's going to come back for other roles, but it's not like, because remember the whole thing of Moon, they're like, Moon Knight's not really MCU. It's just going to, like a what, but he's going to come back. It's fucking Oscar Isaac. He's going to play the character, and you hope he plays a character with, you know, with all the Blade stuff eventually. So,
It's a really badass character that is very tough to sell. He's a little bit like Deadpool in that way, where it's not obviously different, ends of the spectrum there, but you really do need kind of a visionary to tell that story. I don't know. I don't know what made me think of that, but it's like even She-Hulk is criticized as it was, like picked up way more traction, like on social media and stuff than Moon Knight ever did. I don't remember anyone talking about Moon Knight.
Yeah, at all. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's She-Hulk done. Our next Marvel thing is the last Marvel thing of the year, and that's Wakanda Forever, which I continue to think is going to be really good.
Me too. Yeah.
I just would be very let down, but I don't know. I mean, what if it's not great promotional material, because everything they've released fucking rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually am excited for Ironheart too. The more I hear of how much Ryan Coogler had his hand in that one as well. He apparently was very adamant about like the vibe and the feel of that show and it being very similar to Black Panther, which continues to be funny. Like Black Panther, like being great and like sticking out and being more serious. And it's like, maybe we do more of this. Like maybe we like don't go DC, but maybe you can do a couple more serious stories. That's She-Hulk, Andor episode 6. The Eye, crazy episode. I mean, fucking intense. One of the cooler visual shots you'll ever see in a Star Wars thing. I loved it. I was like edge of my seat watching it. The tension built up in that episode was just great writing, great directing too, because they did that in moments too. Even just like them opening up doors and stuff, you're like, oh fuck, something's about to happen. And you just never really knew where the moment was going to be and when things were going to start to go haywire. I cannot say enough about Andor. I just, that was fucking awesome. That was a great end to that arc.
Yeah, that was that heist scene. When you're talking about like great heists among television, there's not really a lot to speak of, period. I thought it was awesome. Gilroy clearly knows what he's doing. A lot of really good, like you're mentioning, like anxiety and tension building up, and like you kind of like feeling that, like feeling what they're feeling, which is very, feel like kind of rare in more recent Star Wars projects, and really, really enjoyed that a lot. And again, I'm really loving how they're doing the sort of Clone Wars 3-episode arc thing, like 3-episode arc, 3-episode arc. And especially for this one to end on such like a interesting note, where like any other Star Wars property, I feel like they would have casting like 100% into the rebellion by now, right? But I think it's smart to have him reel back and be like, no, I don't want to be part of this. Look at these assholes all betraying each other, all this shit. And like now they're gonna have to try and like get him back in, probably through the manifesto and stuff like that. Very interested to see where else this show goes. And again, I just. This is the type of Star Wars shit we're missing. Like this and Mando. Give us like a trillion more of these, and like the hit rate is going to be so much better than like when you look at the other Disney stuff we're talking about with Marvel. Like it's just a totally different worlds.
Number one ruthless kill guy too.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Cuzzo!
It might be too early to say this, but in terms of, I'm not going to go off enjoyment, but in terms of just production, writing, this is probably better than Mando. Like this is probably. Remove Star Wars from the equation. Remove it from the equation. This show is so well directed, so well written, looks amazing. Like this is a elite television show. Like this will get a lot of nominations by the time the Emmys roll around next year. Like there's great performances all over the place. It's just very well done. One of the scenes that stuck out to me is when Cuzzo, I can't remember his name at this point, Cuzzo makes his turn and is explaining. Yeah.
No, like it actually is something like that. It's something like
Skeet. It is Skeet, I think. But he's like explaining, like, you know, we could split the money. In a normal Star Wars series, he says that plan like right off the bat. Andor just shoots him dead. But in this, they let him talk for like a minute and a half, and you get to see Cassian's face like kind of contemplating it, almost like, should I do this? And then he kind of makes the turn. Like they let it go on. They let everything develop and play out, and you just get to the relationships and the dialogue are so great. Like, I'm so invested in this series, and it looks incredible. That was the shots of that, the meteor shower, whatever it was.
Oh, dude, that's so incredible. Cool.
So cool. Yeah. I really love it.
It's interesting because I think you can say it's better writing and production than Mando without it even being a knock on Mando. Mando's a completely different written show. Sometimes you don't have any dialogue, which I love about it. I love a good long 5-minute Mando scene. Yeah. You don't hear shit. And everything's very stripped down in that world. It's one of the few where the volume works. Like, the volume works. Like, and if you know what the volume is, I mean, I guess we'll say that's the big fucking circle thing that they shot Lion King in, and then they did it for Mando with Jon Favreau. It did not work for Boba Fett. It did not work for Obi-Wan. It looked cheap. Mando, it hasn't looked cheap. Mando's always looked great, but it's because they've done it in the right spots. Andor is on location, and it looks unreal. It looks so fucking good. And the writing is just different. It's a more complexly written show.
Yes.
I can't say enough about it. That high scene, like, just the anxiety of them, like trying to load up the ship and things were falling and you're just like, oh my God, you're like, well, how is it going to end the standoff?
Yeah, it was cool.
Chris, thoughts?
This may surprise you guys, given my track record. I thought this episode was badass. I thought it was great. Yeah.
You got to be in the first half of that word.
I knew you would like it. I actually knew you would like it.
This is bad. And I was like, no,
this was fucking awesome. This was great. Because it speaks to something we talked about, went back and forth about Ken Jack last week. This is what Star Wars needs to be: movement, energy, action. I don't think Star Wars is actually that difficult to pull off. Like, it's one of the reasons why I defend The Force Awakens. People say, oh, it's just a ripoff of A New Hope. Right. Well, A New Hope's really good. And this
is
really
we're gonna talk about Force Awakens and sidelining characters in like 5 minutes.
But. Okay. Well, that works then. It's an accidental segue. But I think my one complaint is that I'm still not that invested in the characters, though I'm starting to get to know Cassian a little bit more. But what they did with this episode, it's the town in space. That's what this episode – one giant robbery, one giant heist. It's tense. And, that space battle through the meteor shower was – that was film quality, like, you know, production and action. I can't go – we got a ways to go before I'm comparing this to Mandalorian, because Mandalorian is tight as fuck. Like, I don't mean that just because, like, it's awesome, but narratively, there's not a whole lot of fat to trim. I still feel like this show took way, way too long to get going. But I did say on last week's episode that I expected I would come to like this more over time. And I think that's where we're getting this one totally worked for me. I thought this had me invested from the beginning. Yeah.
This show is not doing like fucking House of Dragons or even Rings of Power in terms of like just like word of mouth. The word of mouth is going to make this show a big thing, I think, because people are going to be able to binge this. Mm-hmm. And my one thing I wish they did is I do wish they released like a couple 90 minute, like, sorry. there's the old allergies.
Jeff just took a huge puff of a bomb.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, if you're
any listeners. One through three were released together, and I think getting to that was easier. I like the weekly drop. The show works for me, but I do think eventually people are going to go through and binge it who maybe didn't watch it as it happens. And I know we've had some fans of our of this podcast say they've saved them. They save these three together. I think this is going to be an easy rewatch, which is what happened with Clone Wars, like you said, Kenjik. Like, they had little arcs, and it was popular, but then it really picked up steam on Netflix.
Yeah.
And that's when people began to love it. And I think people are going to watch this as a binge and they're going to go, oh, fuck, this rules. Because you're not going to have the breaks in between. So if anyone maybe didn't like the slow build, it's all going to be together. And they're going to like the way they pay off.
Yeah.
Can I also give a quick prediction? Because we talk a lot about, you know, theories on this stuff, about how this thing ends. I think we're going to get, if it's not this season, at some point in this show, a Palpatine cameo. They keep alluding to him. They keep throwing back to him. You don't have to do it in all CG like you did with Luke. I feel like there's going to be not some maybe like head-to-head confrontation, but maybe his arc, him realizing I need to become a part of the rebellion. Because you've already shot your wad with Vader and Obi-Wan. So I think that the conclusion here is him having some sort of, you know, meet-up, crossing of paths with Palpatine at some point.
I think if there was going to be a scene like that, it would be basically that old ISB guy that we saw in this last episode, like having to report something to Palpatine, him being like, yeah, I'm going to fucking kill you.
That makes sense too. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and I brought this up on the long take. One thing I love about this show is that Star Wars sometimes will fall into, whereas the villain is the Empire, the villain really in the movies, you get Vader and Palpatine. And
yeah,
that's, you get like one main character. Here you can really feel the Empire is the villain. Mm-hmm. Like this entity, this like ethereal idea is the idea of rebelling against that is like the driving force behind the show. I think it makes for way better writing. I think it makes for a better series. Like it's great. I'm a huge fan, if you can't tell. I love it.
I'll note too that for Disney Plus, I think this is like a huge win for them because it gives people a reason to have Disney Plus outside of Mandalorian. Because like earnestly, and I would love to see, you know, what you guys think. Like, how often do you use Disney Plus outside of trying to watch something new?
Huge for families.
But yeah, what I'm saying for us, like people like not in that sphere, which makes sense because Disney is a family operated thing. But like this is their big marquee stuff is like, hey, come watch Star Wars, come watch Marvel, and like they really haven't had their like thing that everyone needs to go to. Like HBO has that, Netflix usually will have something like that if it's different white women creaming their pants over Jeffrey Dahmer or whatever. Like they don't really have that for Disney Plus. I think for people in our sphere, like younger, not married or having kids yet or anything like that. And I think Andor could be that and be like a sort of appointment watch for a lot of people. And I'm super excited for that. And something to be the off season version of Mando, which is also great.
More adult geared television.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're gonna get Saw Gerrera soon, I think, too. Forrest Whitaker. Not a spoiler. That's kind of been known. No, I agree. The Palpatine thing's been a rumor. There's not been a leak, so this is not me spoiling it. But it's been a rumor, and I think even like one like mild shot. I'm excited. I hope there's an arc that's a little more based on Coruscant. By the way, we mentioned it. Seeing the Senate it's kind of wild. Seeing
I love that.
That's cool.
Senate, like we haven't seen the Senate in so long. I mean, so long that they blew up the Senate, basically, in Force Awakens, so we never would have to see it again.
That's right.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And Yoda and Palpatine kind of wrecked the place, too. That scene where, like, he's throwing fucking chairs at each other.
Jumping over. Yeah.
They actually referenced the planet that blew up, Hosnian Prime. They talked about it in a minute. Yeah, very, yeah.
Also, one more thing. Shout out Nicholas Britell. Fucking killing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, great music.
Gore is amazing, which was a big thing missing from Kenobi.
I still can't believe that. Still cannot believe how bad that score was.
It's pretty bad. The Boba Fett one was pretty bad, too, but it was less bad. Like it was just a spinoff of Mandalorians.
And, like, you were doing new stuff with that. You have an existing soundtrack for Obi-Wan and Anakin. That is killer. It is the thing that everyone loves. Even if people hate their prequels, they always say, like, their themes and their music is really, really good.
So good, yeah.
And they fucking just abandoned it for I don't even know what the garage band-ass bullshit. That was so weird.
I don't know what was going on there.
Not a fan.
House of the Dragon. We'll end with Rings of Power because it was season finale. Thoughts on the House of the Dragon episode last night, people?
Gets better every episode, man. Every episode gets better.
I didn't love this.
Quentin Tarantino directed it.
Yeah, very feet heavy. Which makes sense.
The
I like
guy that. With a club foot being a foot fetish guy should have seen that one coming a mile away.
Like him having his own fucked up foot and everything. Yeah.
I can't believe he's just like he's lighting his own family on fire for feet pics.
Yeah, literally. He blew up his brother and dad just to get some, and let's be honest with ourselves, pretty average feet on the queen. They weren't anything special. I know we're all looking at them and being like oh my god,
French tits.
Nothing, man. No manicure. They didn't like the calzones weren't even taken off. Like, come on, dude. Like, you can do better than that. Street of Silk definitely has a foot house. Like, you kidding me? Unreal. But yeah, the ending scene with Princess Rhaenyra, right?
Rhaenys.
Yeah, Rhaenys like blowing all that shit up. Very, very cool. We're in spoilers
now.
That
was also a change from the books. That never happened in the books.
I thought it was cool, except for the fact that now I'm going to be pissed off. Like, why did she not just kill them right then and there? Like, that is going to be the thing forever, and everyone's going to be pissed about that.
Did you watch the after the episode?
No.
Little thing. They said because she was a mother and she felt empathy towards. But it's like, you just killed, like, 100 common folk. Like, there's definitely a couple moms in there.
They killed, like, hundreds of family members in that church. And then she's just like, hey, actually, I'm going to stop here before I kill the one person that can literally murder me and my entire family and half the fucking continent. Crazy. See,
I felt they were really pressing for a moment, like, the penultimate. Because, Game of Thrones really became known for delivering on those penultimate episodes, like, having a huge blow-up moment. I think they added that in just to kind of get there. And I don't know if it worked because of that final moment, because it's like well, she wouldn't just stop. Like,
you know what would be sick? Is if, like, she took the dragon and the dragon just, like, ate Aemon or Aegon Targaryen, and then she just takes the crown back to Rhaenyra, like, in the belly, in the stomach of the dragon.
Show's over.
Dig it out of the shit. No, because, like, they would still be going to war and everything, but, like, you just kill Aegon, bring back the crown or something. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, also the whole looking for Aemon thing went on, or Aegon went on forever.
I like those twins, though. Twins freak me out in a good way.
Oh, they got a great storyline coming up. Those Ooh. Twins, those twins are important. They're pretty cool.
They're going to split up based off of that preview.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I still really like this show. It's good. It's good Thrones. Anytime I got Good Thrones on my screen, I'm happy. I was more than happy to be watching last night and looking forward to the season finale. I'm happy that George R. R. Martin kind of came out and said, like, how long this needs to take. So hopefully they respect his wishes on this instead of rushing things. I think he said 4 full seasons, 10 episodes each. So, Thrones is back. I mean, I think the cultural shift has completely happened. People have forgotten and forgiven the final 2 seasons for the most part. And yeah, HBO's got a whole universe on their hands now.
And it can't stretch this enough. They did such a great job twisting Kristen Cole. Like, the entire vibe shift we've had as an audience on him has been unreal.
Sucks. He gets worse. Every episode, I'm like, he can't get worse. And then he took out, I told you earlier in the season, one of my favorite characters was Lord Beesbury, just for being the old dude named Lord Beesbury. Just a nice guy. He takes a stand. Kristen Cole comes up. I mean, what?
Clunk.
Fucking dickhead.
Such an asshole.
Just a prick.
Oh, you're muted, Jeff.
We have a question I'll toss out there, too, from Spark. More of a general question, but I'm a bit confused by what the difference between Otto and Allison's motivations are. They both sent people separately to find Aegon first, but they also both wanted him to be king.
All right. Here's what's going on. Otto wants to go to war with Rhaenyra. Like, he wants to go, not even go to war, like, basically go out there and
exterminate them,
slaughter her whole family. So that way there's no competition for the crown. There's no way that she can challenge it. Allison doesn't want that. Like, she's still, like, she feels like she loved Viserys. Like, I think they did a great job of showing that she really did love Viserys, and she respects, like, he wouldn't want that. And she also still harbors, like, some, you know, nice feelings towards Rhaenyra after the most recent encounter and from being childhood friends. So she doesn't want her family to be killed. So they're basically competing to see who can get to Aegon first and get into his ear first and kind of nudge him in a certain direction. So Allison wants to tell him, you know, just take the crown. We're not going to go after Rhaenyra. Just let's everything be peaceful. But Otto's like, no, I'm going to get in his ear and I'm going to say, we got to go after Rhaenyra fucking now, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what was happening there.
You know, a character kind of sucks. That was from this episode, the white worm lady. She just annoys me. I don't know what it was about her. She's just like the way her cadence of delivering everything. Like, it just
get a Jamaican accent or a Haitian accent.
I couldn't figure that out. She sounded like a character from what do you call it?
Pirates Black of the Caribbean. I was going to say Pirates of the Caribbean. I thought she sounded like Calypso.
I just didn't get it. But she's just like annoying to me. Like, her entire arc coming back. It's like, I didn't care about her when she was fucking Daemon. Like, why would you care about her now? I don't know. That's the only part I didn't.
She's really hot. So
I guess so. Yeah. Basically it. Wonder how her feet look. Don't show them to fucking Laris.
Dragons. What is it? One left?
Mikey Day.
Mikey, yeah.
How many left for dragons? 2?
No, 1.
I believe it's the penultimate that was, right?
Did they have a tease at the end? Because I did not watch if that's the case.
They did. We're getting something called Storm's End next week, which it's a big battle. It's like a one of the your prototypical big battle from Game of Thrones. Like, we're going to get a big one next week. A lot of dragons going after each other. So we have that to look forward to.
And then finally, the Rings of Power is over.
Mm-hmm.
We have hit the finale. I'm pulling it up here for 1 second. Big reveals. Spoiler alert, if you've not watched the finale, Rings of Power. Sauron, we have found him. Sauron is Halbrand. We will talk about that in a second and more of what we think, how that actually played out and any potential theories. Why can't I like to play. I like to scrub through the episode when I'm doing my recap. Well, anyway, and it seems as though the stranger might be Gandalf.
He said a Gandalf quote, so it has to be Gandalf.
He did.
He's getting
he did.
Win in Dallas all year.
Some people think it could be a bit of a hybrid-y Gandalf Blue Wizard type thing. I know that Nerd of the Rings said that as well. Nerd of the Rings had a good had two interesting theories he brought up, and I'll just say them off the top. One, he said, could they potentially be doing like a very ambiguous reveal where people, the books, maybe can be like, oh, it could be something else, but people who aren't, who are just like want to see Gandalf, like, oh, it's Gandalf. Could they kind of toe the line there? I don't know. But he, I mean, it was very Gandalf-y.
It's one thing, like from a technical like standpoint, I could see how you want to like switch it around, maybe make a combined character. But I think from like an audience respect standpoint, and the fact that they know so many Lord of the Rings fans are from the original are going to watch this, I think it would be kind of fucked up for him not to just be Gandalf, because you can't just say a famous Gandalf quote and then have him not be just Gandalf.
I mean, well, I guess we can recap it a little bit. I think it's a fairly straightforward episode in terms of like what we see and what people do. We see the big reveal, the kind of, what are they like? They're the villains from The Leftovers.
They're called like acolytes.
They think they have I love the way the episode opened. The episode opened trying to make you think that it was the Stranger Sauron, which I was like, I mean, it's obviously not, but I like that they said it in a way where you're like, all right, some shit's going to kind of go, you know, there's going to be some reveals here. There's going to be some kind of cloak and dagger shit. Turns out he is good. He says, I'm good. Because remember, when we kind of first heard him talk, he basically said he was bad to the Harfoots, to Nori. So he's revealed as likely Gandalf. They look like not – they have like a Nazgul-y look to them. They're in the unseen world, the acolytes, basically.
They had like the lead one had like a crown when he, I don't know, hit him with his magic jizz.
The Numenoreans return to Numenor. I like that we see Elendil. He's obviously going to, he's going back.
Yeah.
Going back too. Like he's going to clearly go back. The crazy. Isildur's not dead either. Like we're gonna probably saved, much like Aragorn was saved in Lord of the Rings.
They love their horses.
Fucking love horses. So that was a big reveal there. And then the other big reveal was Sauron. Did we like the Sauron? I'll ask what we liked in a second. It's revealed that Sauron, Halbrand Sauron, he tries to have Galadriel join him.
Great Galadriel, what do you call it? Backup quote, which we saw in the original movie too, where it's like you strong enough to shake the foundations of the earth or whatever that line was. That was really cool.
You see the glisten in her eyes, which we haven't really seen, much like Cate Blanchett's version in the Peter Jackson trilogy. They kind of go back and forth. They go through some visions. She sees her brother at one point, and then you see them back on the water through like kind of a vision dream world. His face gets all gross. You actually see like the slit pupil. So he then disappears, and then the Rings of Power are formed, three of them. That's another question I'll bring up in a second. Only three of them. We see potential Gandalf walk away, going on a journey with the Hobbits. What a shock.
Classic.
Just one of them.
Yeah, just one.
Yeah.
I think that's smart.
Then it ends. The Rings are formed, like we said, three of them. And then it ends with Halbrand / Sauron in Mordor as he approaches Mount Doom. How do we think this wrapped up? What's our thoughts? Kenjek, I will start with you. The big things, obviously. Halbrand Sauron reveal, Gandalf reveal, and then the rings, because where are the other rings? Have they been forged yet? Will they be forged in season two?
Yeah, they haven't been forged yet. I think the whole thing with Halbrand learning all this stuff at Eregion was like, oh, now I know how to form these and get into the undying world by using Mithril. So like that's going to be his plan now when he makes the rest of the rings and makes the one ring. And he doesn't know, I believe, yet that they actually were able to complete the three rings of power that go to the elves. But yeah, I liked both reveals. I like how it was. I feel like they did keep us guessing for the most part, especially with Sauron, who was going to be like, we went back and forth on Halbrand the entire time. Like, you thought he was for sure going to be Halbrand in the beginning. I thought the opposite. Then we flipped like halfway through. And then like we at the end of the day, I think the last two episodes specifically, the last two or three, they really did like sort of give you the perfect amount of foreshadowing going into it that it might be him. I think that the scene between Halbrand and Galadriel was the best dialogue scene from this series so far. Ooh. Their back and forth.
Strong agree.
awesome. Their back and forth was awesome. Really well acted too from both of them. Like expertly, I would say. I thought they were all there was a really, really, really well done. And then with the Gandalf reveal, I also thought that was a nice little mini misdirect within that episode. I feel like the Acolytes didn't get a fair shake, if that makes sense. Like, I thought they were going to be like a legit bad guy, and like they were just donezo in like a minute. Yeah. But I'm excited to see a lot more stuff out of Gandalf in this, like him getting his new staff, learning his powers and all like his memories and stuff coming back. And I do like how this season ended. And I mentioned this in the long take too. This season ended in a way where it doesn't feel like here's a cliffhanger. This is why you need to watch this next season. Here's a cliffhanger. Here's a cliffhanger. And like Thrones would do that. Like a lot of good shows do that. But I like how this felt more like Lord of the Rings. And like, here's the closing of this story, this adventure. Here's the new one. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's always like an adventure. They're always going on an adventure. It's nice. Yeah.
And I love that. That felt very Lord of the Ringsy. And I enjoyed the finale a lot. I still think the episode, two episodes previous, is the strongest of the season. The one where they it ends with the with Mount Doom exploding. But I still really, really enjoyed this finale a lot. That was a good wrap up. I think earned payoffs, which is like something we kind of have had trouble with recently, I think, in other shows and movies. But yeah, really, really liked it. But Gooch, how'd you feel?
I mean, I really enjoyed this series. I think it definitely hit its stride towards the end. Like, it's going back to what you said, the standoff between Galadriel and Sauron when the big reveal happens, like that line is so Tolkien-esque and works so well. What was it? I've been awake since the breaking of the first silence. Like that is so Tolkien-esque. Like it feels like it could have come straight from the books. It didn't, but it's so nice. Like I really, really liked it. I mean, I saw some people complaining about the I'm good line from Gandalf. Yeah. Ooh, we don't know if Gandalf, but Gandalf. I like that too. Like sometimes cheesiness is necessary. Like Lord of the Rings is not a franchise that needs to be so down in the gutters and so grounded and like, you know, dirty. And like sometimes
the cheese is nice.
Like there's like cheesy stuff that happens in Lord of the Rings. Like it's all right if it's there. Like it's fun. Like it's lighthearted. Like Gandalf is a lighthearted character.
And he's not exactly like he was very eloquent throughout that first season. Like he barely knew how to speak at all. Like it's not like he had better
words. Do we think his full memories came back, by the way? Or do you think this is going to be like a process of him remembering stuff?
I think they kind of like showed it to be a process.
Okay. I'm happy that, you know, it's going to be just Nori. I think I can deal a lot better if it's just Nori and him. Mm-hmm. That could be like a fun little dynamic. Just a fully functioning, you know, able to speak Gandalf with one Harfoot. I can deal with that. As long as we're not going Gandalf and Nori and then we're getting flashed, you know, they're cutting over to what the fuck the other Harfoots are doing. I hope we get no other Harfoots next season. None of them. I don't want to see them once.
I feel like your wish is not going to work on that one.
I was saying, like, I can deal with Nori and Gandalf. I think that'll be fun, but the other Harfoots, good Lord.
I liked how it ended. It was not my favorite episode. I liked it a lot. I still think the episode leading into the explosion of Mount Doom and that's the episode after the two best. But I think there's some very interesting things. I want to see a lot more with the rings in season two. Have they been forged and maybe they're just like not saying it? Will they be forged? I think you're right, Kendrick. I think we'll see more forged.
I think that'll be the storyline. Yeah, Sauron trying to convince them to forge the rings and like Galadriel working hard to like, you know, work against Sauron, getting his like evil deeds done. Like, I think that'll be the main points. I mean, there's five seasons they have to get through. Like, they've laid this whole thing out. That's how they're
like the Numenorians return. Obviously, Isildur's obviously not dead. Like, there's a lot that is going to happen next season, which I'm very excited to see. The interesting theory I will bring up, then Chris, I'll get your thoughts on how it all wrapped up from your end. The interesting theory that I liked a lot. I don't think they're going to do it. Nerd of the Ring said he didn't think the show's creative enough to do, which I kind of chuckled at, is the idea that maybe Halbrand was not Sauron until when Mount Doom exploded. What if they find Halbrand's dead body when they go when we see Sildor next season? He's like, I don't think they can pull that off, but that is a theory floating around. If they do that, I love that. But that might be way too much like theory, like
he was showing signs before that. Like, yeah. Especially when they were locked up together and he said find their weaknesses, exploit it, like find what
and with that his back and forth with Adar too, and he like pinned him and he was like, you know what this guy took from me, and like it was I think it's too much, it wouldn't work.
But cool, very satisfied with the show. It was awesome. It's kind of bummer it's over already.
I think a lot of the lore, I think they're using like straight lore from the books, but I think they're just time jumping it all together to make it kind of work into a series format.
The rights thing is tough. That's the other thing.
Like, I also think they're kind of ignoring a lot of it.
It is what it is. Chris, where do you stand with it? I'm very curious when you rip through all three Lord of the Rings.
Look, and that's the one caveat here, man, is the fan theories and the stuff you're throwing out there. I can't criticize the show for like, you know, not understanding some of the references. I mean, that's on me. I'll acknowledge that. And I'll rip through Lord of the Rings at some point when I, you know,
that's your homework before the next season.
That's my homework before the next season. That works. And I really did want to get to it, you know, before the end of this season. So I apologize for that. Now I would also argue in a prequel series, the show should do a better job of indoctrinating people who may be outside viewers. That's just me. We talked about it a little bit last week, the Star Wars prequels. I think that to make what is in terms of overall, you know, dollars and cents, the most expensive show of all time, and it basically exclusively make it for people who are fans of Lord of the Rings, I think is a little bit silly. But my biggest issue, man,
it's not silly. It is a little insane.
Okay, that's probably a better way to put it. Yes. I think that's a big gamble. And I think it's why a lot of people have been kind of split on this. My big problem, and it's the problem I had really from the beginning, is because the first few episodes, I didn't love it, but I was with it. Like, I kind of like Galadriel. I love the way it looks. It's got great production value. I've said it a million times. I just think there's shit going on. And it's not even just stuff that I don't understand in terms of the Lord of the Rings universe. Every time that I get invested into something, they cut to a character that I don't care about. And by the time we got to this last episode, people were showing up, and the amount of times I said, "Who is that?" throughout this show is just staggering to me. So I don't, and it's something maybe you guys are following along and understand it and are obviously, you know, smarter people than I, you know, with my short attention span. But I'll be real. I'm not crazy about it. It's subjective. I view it as kind of a bad show. Like even like Andor, the first few episodes, while I wasn't crazy about it, I acknowledged what they were doing. Yeah, I thought it moved a little bit slower than it should have. But there was this series, in my opinion, never had an episode like what we just had with Andor, where you looked at it and went, okay, now I'm invested. Now I care. I appreciate the action. I was just so bored. I can't express. And dude, there's no reason. I'm sorry. And this is something that is not exclusive to this show. There is no reason a television episode should be an hour and 10 minutes long. That's not TV ain't a long form thing. So I'm not crazy about it. And people, you know, who are fans of Rings will get into it. I fucking like the prequels for Star Wars. So it's like for me to be a dick and say like, you know, you're wrong for liking this would be stupid. But I just, as an outsider, I have a hard time defending it or recommending it. Maybe it'll get better. But the only way I see it getting better is if they chop half the characters in half, because it's hard to follow.
I think your criticism about the accessibility of the series is very valid. I think that's a very valid criticism. I don't know if Amazon necessarily cares about it, because I think they view this as just a project. I don't think they care how much money they lose on this. And the viewership is actually much higher than people realize. Like it's beating out Thrones every single week because it's it's an internet. They rolled this out internationally. Like it's it's a much more worldwide franchise. Like Thrones is much more Western. Like this is a worldwide, like Tolkien is a huge, huge thing. But, I think they could do a better job next season, especially of giving hooks for like people who aren't necessarily very into Lord of the Rings to really jump on board. Cause it's fun. Once you're in, you're really in, and it's a lot of fun to, you know, have a show where you're looking up theories week to week. Like it's just a fun thing to have.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I respect your guys' opinion on it. I, I, no. it's, Yeah, I
agree with you.
Yeah, no, I get it though. It's fair. Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see how I feel when a rewatch brings.
Yeah, I think a rewatch is required.
Okay,
for sure. But that's it. That's over. So next week it's just Andor and House of the Dragon.
You know, it'd be nice is if production on one of these two series we're talking about now sped up or slowed down. That way they didn't release at the same time as each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be nice if, like, because at this point, they'll probably start to release again in 2024, if I had to guess, right? Like, that'll probably be what happens, like, summer 2024. It's when they'll drop again. House of the Dragon and Rings of Power. It'll take a while. It'd be nice if, like, one released in 2023 and one released in 2024. That way, you're not comparing them against each other the whole fucking
time. I think it is kind of bizarre to have them both. I don't think it was intentional, just to have them both coming out almost at the exact same, like, week.
I think one of these companies probably did it on purpose.
Possibly, yeah.
With the other one.
Yeah.
This episode of Lightyear Barstool brought to you by 3Chi. Days of long road trips to, you know, go and get, or even any road trip, going down the road, go and get, Gooch, ripping some 3Chi, some tinctures. To go in a place that sells it legally, those are over. Order from 3Chi. Use code STOOL5 at 3Chi, number 3CHI.com. Experience cannabis perfected now. Premium THC products that get delivered straight to your door. Dispensary grade Delta 9 THC. Same effects as traditional marijuana. Hemp derived. Federally legal. Much easier to get your hands on. And like we said, 5% off. If you go to 3Chi.com, STOOL5. Must be 21 to purchase. And you can be up there coughing like old Gooch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real too. Gooch is not just sleepy now because of CBD. He's zooted right now.
Absolutely zooted. I'm high.
The only way he can get through Halloween ends.
Yeah. Perfect timing.
He actually, every night,
I actually got very high last night and watched that movie.
the last seven days, Gooch has said he's gotten very high and watched The Munsters.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work for that movie, let me tell you.
Shout out to 3Chi, one of the great sponsors of not just LCB, but all of Barstool. Stool 5, 5% off at 3Chi.com. Good stuff.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Halloween Ends. Final thing here. The third movie in the Halloween soft reboot trilogy. Technically the fourth movie. What's the timeline? Hold on. We got to.
It's disgusting to look at the Halloween timeline for the movies.
It's very funny. So here we go. Let's just do it the right way. Halloween 1978 branches off directly to Halloween 2018, then Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. The other storyline, you can go from Halloween 1978 to Halloween 2 1981, which does not connect to Halloween 2018. And then you can go from Halloween 2 straight to Halloween 4, because Halloween 3 has nothing to do with the anthology. And then from 4 to 5 to 6, 6 came out in 1995. Or you can go to the Retcon series, which jumps from Halloween 78 to Halloween 2, right to Halloween H2O 1998, and then Halloween Resurrection. Jamie Lee Curtis is in those movies. You can also watch the Rob Zombie reboots that came out in 2007-2009. Let me mention
Chris's favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I fucking hate those movies so much.
They have their defenders, weirdly, but yeah.
I really don't like those
movies. Kevin Feige, looking at this timeline, just has a fucking aneurysm.
He's not the only one.
You guys did what?
Yeah.
Shit and pisses himself at the same time. All right, Halloween. Here's a synopsis. 4 years after her last encounter with masked killer Michael Myers, Laurie Strode is living with her granddaughter and trying to finish her memoir. Myers hasn't been seen since, which I will say, caveat, not a spoiler. I do think he's killed people, though. There's a couple moments. There's like a sign in the background of a missing girl that I know is not a real life thing. It was for production. So like, I think he's killed people. There's a couple like hints to it in the background. Laurie finally decides to liberate herself from rage and fear and embrace life. She does that every movie, it seems. However, when a young man stands accused of murdering a boy that he was babysitting in one of the funniest scenes in the history of cinema.
Yes!
Laughed out loud. It ignites
a cascade of violence and terror that forces Laurie to confront the evil she can't control. I'm going to start off by complimenting something with this movie. First of all, David Gordon Green directed this movie. David Gordon Green is...
He's like the Jeremy Lin of directors. That was an unbelievable drop-off from 1 to 2 to 3.
But he has good stuff. He's a great television guy. EP director, Righteous Gemstones, Vice Principals, Eastbound and Down. He is a great comedic guy. His first ever movie is George Washington. It's a Criterion movie. Highly recommend anybody listening or anyone on this pod that's seen it. Watch George Washington. Great movie. You can stream it on Criterion and probably elsewhere. Directed Pineapple Express. Did some other things, maybe not great. Remember Our Brand is Crisis with Sandra Bullock and Billy Bob Thornton? That's a reference. That's a movie that many people probably...
I forgot completely about that.
Yeah. It did Your Highness, which was with Danny McBride.
That, people forget pretty about good. That movie.
Pretty
that
good.
Like
pretty good.
That movie, like, it's just like wiped off the face of the earth. Like, I had Natalie Portman.
Right after she won her Oscar, yeah.
Yeah.
Even they hated it. They shit on it during This Is the End. I remember when they did the fake trailer for Pineapple Express 2, and they were like, let's not make you Your Highness 2. It had its moments, yeah.
He did Pineapple Express?
He did Pineapple Express, yeah. He's done a lot of good comedy movies, just like Halloween. It was just an unbelievable drop-off from 1 to 2, 3.
So, I think he's great. And he's got a great comedic mindset. And I will also say, I think... I think the idea here is not bad.
Maybe if it was the first movie in this trilogy,
But, hold on. I think this is a great idea for the second movie. I think it's okay to have someone off... It's the Luke Skywalker thing in Force Awakens. I think the idea that Michael Myers is maybe injured, is maybe hurt... First of all, this thing should have ended after the first one. Also, I'll preface with that. Great. It was not a great movie. Great way to end it. Yeah, Halloween 2018.
Yeah.
Perfect ending. But if you're going to do more, because it made money, which I get, this was, like, I'm not saying I would have loved it, but I would have accepted that in the second one, because I Halloween Kills poopy. It's not like bottom of the barrel, but not a good movie. Kind of annoying. Some really bad, dumb shit in it. But, like, this is like, all right, he's off. Like, maybe he, like, you know, he gives some goofball kid his powers. Like, the very surface level idea of this concept I don't hate in the second movie at all. To be the third movie, to sideline the character, to have this fucking kid be the kid. I mean, Jesus
Corey.
Christ.
Corey.
Corey.
I was like I don't hate on them for trying to subvert expectations and be creative. In a franchise that is I'll use the term gobbledygook. It's just fucking nonsense everywhere in all their movies. Correct. So I respect that risk taken. Didn't land. Didn't work. 54 out of 100. I don't think it's not my least favorite thing of all time. It's not a good movie. It's well below average. It didn't work. Good try. Nice attempt. And it's full spoiler. They killed them.
Yes.
They killed them.
But Halloween's definitely not over. I'm going to make that very clear.
No. Someone else will pick up the mask or something. And then we saw a shot of the mask. But he was very clearly killed.
Yes.
Was he?
Yeah, I mean, he was.
He was fucking. He's hamburger meat at this.
I love that. If we're just talking about like the idea of killing him, 100 out of 100, they could not have done much more. Maybe except like literally dropping an actual nuclear weapon on him and blowing him, like blowing his head up like Scanner. Like
Scanners,
like,
yeah.
Like that's really it. So credit there. Yeah, 54 out of 100. Better than the last one. But it didn't work. It did not work for me here.
Yeah, if they shot him in the head, I wouldn't believe he was dead at all. Like 0% chance.
He's been shot in the fucking head before.
Like, it's multiple times. Like it could be the shotgun point blank. I'd still be like, I don't know, man. He probably could have missed some important stuff in the brain. You never know. I think this movie is bad. It's a stinker. I think that this is one of the worst examples of like the first movie having so much thought poured into it. And then the follow-up two ones being hollow and being done very clearly just to capitalize and make some money. And it's very disappointing because like we thought, I remember all of us when we were, or at least me and Jeff, when we reviewed the first one, we were like, this is cool. Like, this is all right. Like, we thought this was going to be ass. It was very, very enjoyable. And this could really be the start of maybe a good little conclusion trilogy. But just such an insane follow-up between these last two. To have a Michael Myers, like swan song that doesn't feature Michael Myers is lunacy. To me, it was so really fucking boring too. Like the first like hour of it
just painfully boring. And like the best part about that first, like actually like two acts was just that kid smashing his neck when he hits the fucking ground. And that was the only worthwhile scene in this entire movie because it evoked some sort of emotion out of me, which is laugh out loud laughter. Like that, it was,
I had to turn it off. I was laughing so fucking hard.
It's edited like a comedy movie.
Exactly.
Like,
it's
just a smash cut to like,
just like coming from like fucking Shaun of the Dead or like Hot Fuzz. It was like hilarious.
Like 20 flights of stairs. Dude,
straight down his like cracked his neck.
Tallest house
up
you've ever seen.
Dude, it was so funny. And this kid was like vaguely creepy, not intimidating at all, like not someone who should be the disciple of Michael Myers or whatever. And like I think the entire way that they put that whole storyline together was very, especially like his romance with Lori's daughter, that fucking sucked. That fucking sucked so bad. And especially the part where he's like talking to her and he's like, "You can't fix me, Lori," or whatever the fuck the daughter's name. You can't fix me. Shut the fuck up.
I tweeted out the line because I was so taken back by it. It was so
bad. It was so fucking bad. Like the second he said that, I had probably the same reaction you did. I was like,
"I'm the fucking here it is. I'm the fucking kid killer, and you think that you can fix me, but you can't. I'll spare you the heartache." And then he walks away.
Fuck up, loser. This movie sucked ass. It was really bad. And not one I would recommend anyone. I know it did the Peacock release or whatever, but like, I would never recommend anyone see this movie. Same thing with the last one, to be honest. It's very, very, I think more than anything else, disappointing again, because the last one or the first one in this trilogy was so good. And you could theoretically have a very nice sign off for this character, Michael Myers, who's like one of the most iconic, if not the most iconic in all of horror, and at least in new age horror. And like, they just didn't. It was just lame. This fucking lame ass movie, boring, shitty, not scary at all. Dumpy, like run of the mill slasher that could be made by some dude you just hired like 5 minutes ago off the street during NYU or something, which is, again, really just such a bummer. It's insane. Oh, and I, again, just can't stress enough how bad the screenwriting for the dialogue was in this. Yeah. It was horrendous, like criminally bad. See, I think for me, I'm going to put it lower. It'd be like 34. I think I'm happy with that. Real
Chris,
bad
did
movie.
Did you watch the Double Toasted review?
Yes, I watched it this morning.
They were very funny. They're talking about how mean everybody is in this movie too. Like,
those kids,
the dialogue is so mean in this. Like, they're all mean to
the people. Multicultural bully squad was so fucking funny.
Band geek bullies, baby. Yeah. We have band geek bullies. It's 2022.
So stupid, dude.
Oh my god!
All the way down to—I mean, it's straight out of Stephen King. All the way down to one of them wearing a fucking Varsity Letterman's jacket. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yuck. Okay. I don't have any attachment to the Halloween movies. Like, I just.
Do you like the original though? Do you like it?
No, I like the original. Yeah. Okay. Most of them I haven't seen. It's just like I have seen a strong backlash on Twitter from people talking about this movie. So this is not in my five worst movies of the year or anything like that. I think I have it at number six right now, so it's close. But here's when I talk about what I don't like about horror movies, every single one of those tropes exists in this film. Like we've reviewed a lot of horror recently.
And
Bodies, I wasn't crazy about because it's not really my genre, but I acknowledge it had some, you know, some merits. Barbarian, I legitimately really liked, almost loved. This is everything I don't like about horror movies. Every character in this movie is a goddamn idiot. All of them. Then nobody talks the way people talk. Nobody acts the way people act. Nobody reacts to situations the way people react to situations. And I strongly, strongly disagree with the idea that you should have some sort of, we need to hand the mantle over to somebody else. Halloween is about Michael Myers. Okay. I with something like Star Wars, that's a longer thing. There's a greater universe. Characters get older. They age. They're not these, like, you know, dominant, immovable objects. People go to see Halloween movies for Michael Myers. And I kept track of it. 41 minutes in is the first time you see him. And you see him for about 3 seconds. You got one of the most iconic slasher villains ever sitting on the bench like he's Brian Scalabrine on the 08 Celtics, just like shrugging his shoulders, being like, I'm here. And I just it's everything I don't like about these kind of movies. There's one thing I did enjoy where I felt like, man, this was the angle. And it's the addressing of Laurie's trauma. I think that Jamie Lee Curtis is actually really trying here. And I think that should have been the angle of this woman who's gone through a heck of a lot. And even the stuff with her, like writing her memoirs, that didn't bother me that much. But this is just, it's just so, I can't stress how fucking stupid this movie is, man. It's written by children. And it's the dialogue literally has at points laugh out loud moments. I mean, you start with the opening scene of that kid getting, you know, kicked out of the door. And okay, this is one random thing that I acknowledged. I took a note of this. Why is it there's multiple characters in this movie that I believe takes place in Illinois talking with New York accents? Did anybody notice this?
The main bully, it seemed like it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it turns into West Side Story half the way through. I remember there was a moment where it was the Corey's dad. Corey's mom. She says something like, because your boogeyman disappeared, they needed a new one. I'm like, what is this movie? So like, it's a 33 out of 100 for me. It's not lower because while, yes, I agree in terms of like a narrative standpoint, it is boring as a Halloween movie. It kept making me laugh. And I was just so baffled because none of us like Rise of Skywalker, but you know what the Rise of Skywalker has as a conclusion to this 9-film arc? It has Skywalkers in it.
Yeah.
This it is amazing to me that at no point during this production somebody said this is a terrible idea. This is a really bad idea. So I was entertained by the monotony of it all and by the bizarre decisions, but yeah, don't see this. And for what it's worth, I think a lot of people have turned on it. I'm not even a fan of this franchise and I was kind of offended by where they went with it. So yeah, 33 out of 100.
I feel like it was supposed to be like basically the sign off for like, it was supposed to be Laurie's movie, right? Where it's like, hey, like all these movies, they do focus around Michael Myers. Let's give Laurie her day in court or whatever.
Writing her fucking book, this whole movie.
Who wants that? Fuck, man. It's fuck Halloween.
You.
It's Halloween.
I'm with you. I guess it's just the idea of her coming to terms with that past. And like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But that being like a subplot to the main plot of Michael Myers killing dudes. Like exactly. That is what people watch a Halloween movie for.
What the fuck happened to this guy in 4 years? He is washed. He looks like Peyton Manning on the Broncos. I tweeted that out. He looks like Peyton Manning on the Broncos. Halloween Kills. He was like superhuman. Like Lori say? She's like, when he kills, he grows stronger with every kill. He gets stronger. Like this dude's taking like stab wounds, gun bullets, like, just keeps moving and getting like picking people up with one arm. Like in this movie, he can't even fucking beat up a little high school kid or however the hell.
No, and he can't beat up a senior citizen either, which is one of the other big issues with this. It's like, you know, she turns into fucking Liam Neeson and Taken, during these movies. But I can't, like, Corey is the main character of this movie. I really want to drive that home. That's what to me is like borderline offensive, that even if this movie was terrible, I could have accepted certain elements if the main conflict was her versus Michael Myers. This movie is so falsely marketed because the entire trailer is that last 10-minute confrontation. They completely leave out the hour and 40 minutes of this dweebus, you know, hooking up with his granddaughter and, you know, kicking a kid down the stairs. It's a mess of a Hollywood film. It's fascinating.
That shit was funny, though, man. I can't get over how much I laughed.
At least they moved it to streaming.
Oh, for sure. Maybe that's why I don't
need the fall is the kid death is one of the most ridiculous things there.
You guys remember in Born Identity when he jumps down the staircase on top of like a dead dude and they just kind of like, fuck. That's what it looks like. So dumb. Oh my God. So stupid. Ugly ass babysitter. I'm not hanging out with an ugly ass. What kind of 9-year-old talks like that?
Dude, she talked to him for like that kid or Corey rather. He talked to the daughter's name, Allison. He talked to her for 2 seconds, and they were like, after that, they spoke to each other like they knew each other their entire lives. It was insane.
I really respect the attempt to do something different here. Like I can't stress that enough. Like it's kind of a bummer that. Like it's to me, it is disappointing that you actually take a franchise that is so tired, so washed, so overdone, 40 fucking years, 50 years old. Like, God damn. And the one time somebody tries to do something very different just like doesn't work. Like that is a huge disappointment because you're like, fuck, like, you know what? I commend him for trying, but it didn't work. Like
I do agree with the notion that if you started here and like built up Corey as somebody who was going to take over the mantle, but you did in the background and you didn't make him the focal point of a singular movie, you had him kind of lurking in the shadows, and you work this up over 2 to 3 movies. I think it does work. I think it's like a cool idea of
Michael Myers' mask
being a mantle. Like, it's not like a singular person. I do think that's interesting, but they just did it so poorly that it's like, what the fuck? We're ending here? Like, it just made no sense. No sense.
And the problem too is he comes over. He comes over in the second movie, and he's back after being killed in the first. And like, I guess the end, they're like, no, don't, you know, like don't the firefighters don't go and extinguish the flames, let him die. But like, in, again, whether first or second, you then in the second could have like some sort of lurking presence while he's like it would have justified him coming back more too. And I get like he has that supernatural thing. Like, I think that's the thing you have to accept, Michael Myers. Like, it's a supernatural type thing. Which
Or he could have been like feeding him prey, basically. Like,
Or he could have knocked on it. Like, that would have been great. And then the last one, which let's not forget, the last one was a nod to the Black Lives Matter movement, according to Jamie Lee Curtis. So don't forget that.
Even though it was filmed 2 years before any of that happened. Yeah.
But
Black Lives didn't matter before that.
Damn, Chris.
not before Michael Myers. No,
it just didn't. Yeah, it just didn't. It just didn't work. It's a bummer. It was not. I'm not like bummed this movie wasn't good, but it's a bummer that like they tried something creative and it's just not the right time.
Worse or better than Kills for you?
This?
Do you like this? Yeah. Do you like this better or worse than Kills?
I think I've as a 49er, a 50 now, and then this is a 54. I like it better than Kills. Kills was
okay.
The only
Kills was bad, but there was Michael Myers in that
kills.
Movie.
There were really cool kills in that movie.
Yeah,
there
that
were.
Opening scene with the firefighter was dope as hell.
I actually like this one a little more. Maybe it's because it is a creative that last scene. That scene of him killing everyone though at the end, that was like a movie ruiner.
But that's like liking a player shot attempt, even though they missed.
There's a lot I didn't like with Kills too. I didn't like how sideline Laurie was, and I do
better her than Michael Myers.
Yeah, but I just didn't like it. I just didn't like that. That movie was really off-putting to me.
It's my favorite Red Letter Media review ever was that movie.
Mm.
Yeah,
Ghostbusters, female Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah,
when they said, I think we have an electromagnetic like phenomenon, and it's like they do the reverse of the ghost voice, and it just goes, Paul Feig is a hack.
it's all worth it for that clip of it's one of my favorite internet clips ever of Larry King drinking Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
you just see him internally go, Jesus Christ.
I will say, Ken Jack. This makes me appreciate the first one we reviewed more.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I think I appreciate and kind of respect more that original. And I do wonder if, like, you really, like, off the record asked David Gordon Green, and I may be wrong on this, so please tell me if I am. Like, if he had the option to just do the first, I wonder if he would have.
Yeah.
He's a guy who doesn't do, like, look at, like, the Danny McBride shows. Like, Righteous Gemstones is a couple, but, like, he's a guy who kind of moves on from things pretty quickly, so I'm... Like, he's been doing these for like 6 years now, 7 years. So
I feel like for him, and this would make sense as well, it's like the pressure of continuing to execute great seasons and stuff like Righteous Gemstones and like Eastbound and Down, like stuff like that is significantly higher than if you fuck up making a Halloween sequel. Because no one has any high expectations for that at all. No one's going into a Halloween movie after the original movie and being like, this better be some high concept, crazy good stuff. Like, no, they want it to be a dumb horror movie, a slasher. That's what it is. And so I guess maybe that's the root behind it. And he also likes money, like every other person. And I'm sure they offered him a lot of money to keep directing.
I would have said the same thing as David Gordon Green. Check out George Washington, though, if you have not. Next week, Black Adam.
Oh, my God, that's next week. Finally.
I know. I fucking can't wait. I can't believe we didn't get invited to the premiere. Did we say something wrong?
People seem to enjoy it. We'll see.
I think the buzz has been pretty good.
Yeah,
dude.
All the people that went to those early screenings are all like DC dick suckers and like rock dick suckers. No, I'm telling you, dude. Like, I don't trust anyone that got invited.
Snyder fans have completely turned on this movie. You got to check. You got to see it. You guys just got to look it up right now. They've turned on someone who's supposed to be in the movie too. I don't want to talk about it, but like, it's very funny. The Snyder fans are going through it again. Oh,
I love to see them freak out.
I don't trust anyone that went to those early premieres. Same thing with like Marvel.
Will happen if they review bomb this? Because The Rock loves to fucking tout the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
The time he did it with Rampage was so funny. He's like, yeah, we broke the video game curse. Rampage sitting at like a 45. That's so funny. It's like for highest rated video game movie ever, 45%.
Do you think he really like believes that? I know you like it's a big thing that The Rock's just a giant liar, but do you think he's just so full of positive energy that he reads into that and is like, yeah, we did it. We broke the video game curse. Or do you think like he just says that just out of promotion?
I think two things can be true promoted. Here. He's a monumental liar and also just delusional about his stuff.
Are you guys the first podcast to like open up that theory?
that he
just makes shit up and it's just
we were on that pretty early with the cheat meal stuff.
And the time he said he tore down his gate. That was so
funny. Ken Jackson's number one he did not tear down his gate guy.
It was me and Trip Ballins was like adamant. He's like, you were late to Black Adam, and you are Black Adam. They are not going to start the show without you being there. You need to
recast him. He didn't show up. He's 10 minutes late.
It was so funny.
If I see another piece of fucking fan art from this movie, though, I may go Corey from Halloween. Like, I may like this is fucking... I'm so sick of this movie's fan art because for years, it's all we ever saw. Remember when they went to DC Fandom and they were like, oh my God, we're going to finally see him in this costume. And it was him in like a fucking 3-piece suit and it was more fan art. You're like, holy shit. Like, how is it just Boss Logic's fan art we've seen for 5 years of this movie? And he's still releasing fan art.
In The Rock.
Dude, I just remember that still. It was a DC Fandom in like 2018. And they're like, The Rock's sitting there on this green screen background of all dust. And he's like, yeah, fucking Black Adam's coming soon. That was like long ago. Up, it's man? Crazy.
Can I get a picture of me fighting Superman?
Yeah.
Have me put him in a suplex.
we may have to bring Robbie in for that. Black Adam. He may not go see it though. Robbie's so like anti like bad DC shit. Because
he's got
probably the biggest Batman fan I know. All right. That's it. Black Adam next week. Very excited to go see Black Adam. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm actually amped now. Like, I just we talked about this for so long. That's it. Ken, Jack, Chris, and Gooch, I'm Jeffy Lowe. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
It's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
Look, if you're a bigger guy like us, have you ever bought a shirt that technically fits, but it doesn't, like, actually fit? That's why this is my favorite brand of all f***ing time. One Bone. I'm in love with everything that I put on today. In fact, I would say I've never loved a brand more than One Bone. Trust me, you guys are going to romanticize getting dressed in the morning. That's what One Bone does. Go to onebone.com and upgrade to a fit that is actually built for you. Use code Barstool for 20% off to see the difference firsthand. After one wear, you'll understand why standard fits don't make the cut.